excited for our up-and-coming live podcast tape from Steamworks, Gym, Sauna, and Baths, right here in the heart of Boys Town in Chicago, Illinois.
The show includes live performances by some of Chicago's funniest comedians, Fausto in a low-budget Lady Gaga outfit, and Steamworks' first female performer and today's guest, comedian Cameron Esposito. How will Cameron deal with doing stand-up in a men's-only club?
Join us as we talk about the upcoming live event and all the hot news. A British food company applies for a patent to make potato chips out of meat.
Sarah Palin and Jamie Foxx cross the picket line to be one of Jay Leno's first Tonight Show guests.
A man appears to be free of HIV after a dangerous stem cell transplant.
Thousands of exuberant young women cheer Smith's College's announcement that Rachel Maddow will deliver the commencement speech.
And Shaquille, I love your art. Shaquille O'Neal, basketball star and Razzie Award-winning actor, takes a turn as an art curator, featuring a show of large art, mostly about him. I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Billion.
And this is Feast of Fun. Mark, I love your podcast.
Oh, why, thank you. Today's show is brought to you by you. You, the fabulous listener, and your support make it all possible.
If you like our programming, go to our website, feastoffun.com, and make a financial contribution. Or get yourself a fabulous t-shirt. Thank you for your support. Dun, 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 dun. It's the Feast of Fun. Me, Fausto Fernos, with Mark Felian and Cameron Esposito. Say hi to everybody at the same time.
Hi, everybody at the same
it's
time.
It's good to see you.
It's so efficient to do it this way, isn't it?
And then we get it over with.
Yeah.
Hi, Cameron.
How are you?
Great. You look fabulous with your little handkerchief.
Oh, thank you.
How many handkerchiefs do you own?
Like a lot. I don't know. It's 50? 2 dozen. No, one. Not 50. That seems like too much.
Cameron, people, you always wear bandanas around your neck. Every single... I don't ever see you without it.
Just to throw you off the gender thing. Sometimes I will wear a button-down shirt and then I'll wear a tie. Because the bandana can look a little bit like I'm going to stick you up.
I would love to force feminize you in a little like Victorian Mae West outfit.
Oh my goodness.
A little foundation undergarment.
Oh God.
And put makeup on you. You'd look so pretty.
Let me be real with you. That would look good for 4 seconds. And then I cannot wear makeup. You can wear makeup. I'm assuming.
I'm so good at wearing makeup.
If I put lipstick on my lips, I look like a ventriloquist dummy within 5 minutes. It's like running
that
down the sides
true.
Of my cheeks. Like I don't.
You never learned how to put on makeup. Your mom didn't teach you.
I mean, I wear like eyeliner and mascara, and I don't want to do that. I can't keep lipstick on my lips. I can't.
You're going to be performing. You're going to be the first woman to break the gender policy of Steamworks. And be performing comedy Friday, March 5th, along with the rest of us.
Oh, my gosh.
If you like this show and you like to see us doing it in person, so you actually get to see me do this with sexy results, and you're a guy, or Cameron Esposito.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. I seriously am. I'm freaking out.
Now, how have your friends been reacting to it? Because you've been telling me.
Well, yeah. I mean, I posted it immediately after getting Fausto's call. Like, I think it was immediately on my Facebook. And everybody said that they were going to put on some drag and come in. I said, I think you have to not wear things. You have to wear a towel, right?
You can wear clothes.
I don't know things. You can wear clothes.
So half of your audience will be wearing towels. Half of your rest of your audience is going to be people like us just wearing clothes.
And typically the men are clothed and they sit in the actual chairs like in front of us.
Okay.
And then towards the back, and every now and then somebody in a towel will come up and take a seat.
Awesome.
But most of the clothed people like will be in distance.
What kind of a space, like where are we doing
it's like
show?
A fireside chat.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm bringing a keyboard. Mm-hmm. And I've been working on a Lady Gaga inspired performance routine to kick off the show, and it is absolutely atrocious. And please don't compare me to Lady Gaga, because I do not have the talent, the time, the resources, or the money, or the 28 fashionistas creating a fashion outfit for me to wear.
Right.
But yeah. I will be breaking things. There will be metal outfits involved.
Ooh.
There'll be live music
sparks
sung by me.
Coming out of your nipples? Yes or no?
Maybe.
Ooh. She does that sometimes.
You know, actually, Chicago's banned sparklers in the city.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
So that's it's right. Like, I think that just did that, didn't they?
Yeah, I don't think we can do them because, you know, they start fires and people get burned.
Right.
Listen, we're adults here.
Well, in a place filled with steam, I don't think we have to worry about fires.
Well, maybe the kind of fires that burn.
Yeah.
You know, or what? Maybe burn afterwards. So please, people, use protection so you don't get an infection.
Now, what are you going to do, like, let's say, because, you know, these guys are wearing towels. What's your reaction going to be if, like, let's say a guy, you know, just drops
is
his towel?
Slip out?
Yeah, what if something slips out?
I'm going to look at it really hard. I'm serious, because that is...
I just don't laugh at it, because guys hate it when women laugh at their wieners.
What if I laugh uncomfortably? Still offensive? What if I laugh and point and go, oh, look at you, guy. You have a thing there. That's weird. What is that?
I think the hardest thing to do, because the audience is sitting watching us perform, and then we're standing there, and everything's pretty well, relatively well lit, because it's not a theater, people. This is like a, you know, a bunch of folding chairs around a fireside, and they do turn off the fire, so we're not like melting hot, but but it's cozy, and we get to see the guys in their towels, the good, the bad, and the ugly, walking back in the background cruising while we're doing our performance.
That sounds distracting.
It's very distracting. Not so necessarily the you know, the people that you don't find attractive, but when there's somebody who's really good looking walking back there taking a look at you to see if after you're done with your set, you might be, you know.
I don't know. Actually, I think both sound distracting, though. Like, a really attractive man, I'd look at that. But a really unattractive man, I will also look at that. Because what's going on there? That sounds, it's like at the gym in the locker room, in the ladies' locker room. I'm a starer. Either
you
of
like
you guys,
to look.
Oh,
you guys
me too,
stare?
Oh, man. I wish I could pull out my cell phone and just take pictures.
Yeah.
Because really, that's what I'd be doing.
It's offensive. I think people don't like it.
Is one circumstance where you actually, after the show, they can meet you in your dressing room. And what? Technically, it's, you know, you get a free room. So, Cameron, you could get a little, you know.
I don't get a free
cock.
Room, though. Do I get a free room?
You could get a free room.
I want mine to be by the wall with a lot of holes in it. Mm-hmm. What's that called?
The glory hole.
This guy's pecs are so big, and he has a anus in the front where his penis used to be. What's up with that?
You just stick your body parts
ladies.
Up against the glory hole.
You could stick your boobs in the glory
holes. I just
want to
look through. No, I don't actually. That's how accidents happen, isn't it?
You can poke your eye out.
I think I've seen footage of that.
Well, are you worried about like the because, you know, it's a very sexual place. Are you worried about that? Like, I don't want you to feel like sexually harassed in the least bit.
I'm only a little bit worried. Hey, let's be real.
Okay.
We all like to feel like people actually want us around. So I just don't want to be in there and have all the guys like hands on hips. Like
it's your job.
Get out of here, lady. Yeah. We're trying to do stuff.
<You'll>
your
be like,
jokes might be funny, but they're not about getting me an erection.
Well, so you'll be like Darla from Little Rascals. They'll be like the He-Man Women's Haters Club. Yeah, exactly.
Hey, guys, let me in. Oh, guys, come on. Guys, throw the rope down. I want to come to the clubhouse.
So who's the dog with the circle on the...
That'll
be me in my Lady Gaga-inspired outfit.
That sounds really
actually, it's not technically... It's not a Lady Gaga-inspired outfit. It's what I was doing... In drag, I'm not going to be in drag, but I'm bringing a lot of the elements, what I used to do 10, 15 years ago. So I'm bringing, because it's
recycle
like.
Recycle that stuff.
Because literally, and it's made from recycled materials too.
Ooh.
So people are like, what?
Recycled materials.
Yeah. So it's we're working hard and we're hammering metal, sheet metal into a shape that's flattering for my body.
I've got the arc welder out.
It's horrifying.
Are you guys serious?
I'm dead serious here, people.
You
have to entertain the masses.
Can I ask you a question? We've been friends for a long time. Yes. Why have you not welded me an outfit yet? I'm pissed now that I know that that's something you need to do.
You won't even dress up like a Victorian maiden.
What? Well, I would dress up as a knight. I would wear a breastplate and have a long sword.
We can make one for you. Let me put it this way, Cameron. After I'm done with my outfit, you can wear it.
Yeah. That's
we can recycle during the show.
Yeah. My friend's little brother used to think a breastplate was like an insult. Like you'd call somebody a dick. So he used to call us like, you're a breastplate. And we'd laugh. We're like, do you even know what a breastplate is?
I suppose in certain circumstances that could be an insult. Table four is really annoying him. Give me the breastplate. Just rub it. Lower it.
I think the challenges of performing, though, for an audience that's half naked is that you really want to get naked yourself. It's like, because, you know, have you ever heard like in the Brady Bunch episode where they were like nervous about performing in front of an audience and says, in order to feel comfortable, imagine your audience is naked or in their underwear. And in this circumstance, it actually is true.
I've never... That'll be a first for
me. So what will you do? You have to imagine your audience actually is wearing clothes.
Is that what it's like?
To be comfortable.
Put the clothes back on. Well, now that we've done Steamworks, I think we should venture into the women's bathhouse.
Ooh.
Maybe you could get us scheduled at a show at like Thousand Waves.
I know, but you guys always say that, and I don't believe that that's what happens there.
Oh, yeah. They have glory holes there.
There's a lot of pussies bumping in that place.
Women don't have glory holes. No. The end.
Instead of glory holes, it's two circles to stick the boobs in.
They have to be very big. In my case, large.
You just put the nipples through.
Oh, really? Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, I guess. I don't know why. Just wearing this wall as a bra. It's very uncomfortable, actually.
Have you been to the Thousand Waves spa
I've
for women?
I've never been. No. But
so you don't know.
All of my straight friends go. I don't know if, I mean...
That's straight in quotations.
Right.
And then they get that massage and then the steam and then... You know, the inhibitions go away.
Do you think steam affects the adhesive on tape? Because I'm going to tape my eyelids open when I go to the show. Just, I don't want to miss a thing.
I got to tell you, though, it is warm in there.
Is it?
So be prepared.
Ooh, do I have to wear like a tank top?
Don't wear something that's warm because it's like summer weather inside there, you know? So it's like a hanging out at the bayou. It's steamy and warm.
Do you have like a fancy bathrobe?
Like a long jean short? Fancy bathrobe. I can probably procure one.
A Joan Crawford white kind of a little sheave for Cameron.
Absolutely.
Darling, what is going on? So what's going on in the news? You know, I'm kind of really excited that you're here because yesterday we talked about this, but it was Smith College, which is a college that makes things. The word Smith, means to make.
Right.
Smith,
I don't think that's... Yeah,
no?
I don't think that's specifically... But yes, I mean, you're right.
It's like about like pounding things or wreaking havoc.
Sure.
Because what is it? You have a blacksmith who pounds metal. Yeah. And then you have a woodsmith, somebody who like carves wood.
Mm-hmm.
What other smiths do you have?
You have a fingersmith, as also known as a pickpocket.
Or a lesbian.
That's a very
popular, popular women's novel.
Really?
Sarah Waters? Yeah.
Fingersmiths.
Mm-hmm. Fingersmith.
Are you making this up?
No, I'm completely serious. It's a great BBC
documentary.
The ladies will know what I'm talking about. It's a great, great BBC. Other Smiths, The Smiths.
The Smiths. Yeah.
So I think that, you know, you always hear the concept of a college lesbian, which is a woman who enters the wonderful world of academia and whose heart and mind is inspired by these wonderful things that she reads and learns about and says, I'm going to try new things, new foods, new ideas, new sexualities. And some lesbians complain about this because they form emotional relationships with these women. And then when they graduate, they marry a guy,
mm-hmm.
you know, in your case, it was the opposite, but
right.
But you know, colleges like Mount Holyoke, Vassar, and Smith are just some of the Seven Sisters College.
Something like that.
They have a wonderful reputation for enticing women to get very excited about the thought of women on women action.
I have an ex who went to Mount Holyoke, and we used to play Smith in rugby, in case you were wondering.
You played rugby?
I did.
Oh my God, you are so tough.
I played rugby.
You could
in
kick
college.
Our asses
were
right
you good
now.
At it?
I was pretty good, but I will tell you who was better.
Who?
The women from Smith. Because I went to like the kind of college where like all of my teammates had like blonde hair and we were like, yay, before the games. The Smith women were so serious.
Well, I would imagine because you're not a large woman. I would imagine some of those rugby players were, you know,
that's right.
tall, like 6'2", 6'3", 6'4", and with
big
incredible
ladies.
Giant builds.
Yeah, but
so,
I can tackle.
So let me get through this so we can rugby afterwards.
Yeah, I want
but
to.
So anyways, there's this video going around the internet, and it's Smith College President Carol T. Christ announcing to a gathering of students, of girls. What do you say, Mark?
I said Carol T. Christ. It sounds like a swear word.
It does. It does. Get down here, Carol T. Christ. Mark Fellian, we need you.
And she announced that Rachel Maddow, the MSNBC political analyst and TV host and lesbian, she is the lesbian sex symbol of America, might be replacing you as her sweetheart. But fight, you guys have to arm wrestle for it. Check this out. This is insane here. So.
To make a special announcement to the senior class.
Because they're all rowdy right now.
Going to want to hear this. Stanford University graduate. Rhodes Scholar.
They know what's coming.
Political analyst.
Carpet cleaner.
And national television host.
Lesbian extraordinaire.
Rachel Bell.
And the dean gets plummeted by bras, tampons, and other female undergarments.
I think I see a girl fingering herself. They can't
no, stop it!
She was finger-sniffing.
That's what's going to happen someday for me.
Political analyst Cameron Esposito! But it's like, boy, it's like,
this
wow. Ladies,
true.
Ladies, please remain calm. There's plenty of Rachel Maddow to go around.
That's awesome. She's the perfect speaker for that school. She should totally be. Mm-hmm. I think she actually used to even live. She might still in rural Massachusetts. I mean, in like Western Mass, mm-hmm. which is kind of rural.
Lesbochusetts.
Yeah. Lesbochusetts.
Yes, right. As it's known in the Mount Holyoke circles. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I think that... I think that is what they.
I think it's exciting that somebody of her calibers is, you know, celebrated by a major academic institution. And I think it's like, that's great. You know,
yeah.
She's the Ellen of news.
Right. She's a Rhodes Scholar. I mean, she's a super.
She went to
and
Stanford.
I think she was the. I could be wrong, but she's one of the younger ones that they've ever had. Might. Have been the
Liz Winstead said she's lady. The one who gave her her big break. So right. If you like Rachel Maddow, follow Liz Winstead on Twitter and tell her thank you.
She knows her stuff. I think Rachel was doing landscaping when she got her big break too. Mm. She was, and that's how she met actually her girlfriend. She did her yard and then she did her garden.
Mm. Hopefully one was already well tended.
So Jay Leno's going to be back on the Tonight Show soon.
I feel like that show's just built. I don't want to sound ageist. I feel like it's just built for old people.
Yeah, I don't
like
care
I don't want to offend anybody's sensibilities. If you're old, I don't want your dentures flying out or your monocle popping. So it's just so bland.
Well, the first person that's crossing the picket line is Jamie Foxx.
Oh yeah.
Is the major celebrity on his return to the Tonight Show. And they're actually, you know, they noticed they didn't get a redhead.
Ah.
Right. And then far from it.
The next day is going to be Sarah Palin's going to be his guest.
Sarah Palin. So what they're going after that conservative.
Yeah.
Folks.
Oh, thank goodness.
Now, this is the weird thing, too. And I Andrew Sullivan wrote about it. He's, you know, the gay writer, blogger, conservative, but now he's not so conservative. He broke this story at the beginning of February, but I just heard about it over the weekend where, you know, Sarah Palin had her baby who has Down syndrome. And the technical word for Down syndrome is trisomy 23. Also, there's another word. I didn't know this, and I have a sister with Down syndrome, so I'm surprised I didn't know it. They also call it trisomy G, right? And so people in the medical profession sometimes just abbreviate it tri-G. And so it spells out T-R-I-G. And so what did she name her kid? Trig. So it's Trig. So her she named her kid after his disease.
Well.
Or his syndrome.
God.
Isn't I mean, that
I
just like.
His name could be HIV.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like nicknaming, you know.
Here's my baby AIDS. You know,
it is sort of unnerving.
Yeah, it's just kind of. I'm like, well, that's either like a sense of humor or it's just. Just
I'm
really
sure
bizarre.
She had no idea that that's true.
Well, it would be the equivalent if a woman whose baby was born with HIV
mm-hmm.
and she talked about that as a political tool mm-hmm. and named her baby Sita, like Sita Garrett, which is AIDS in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, that would be the equivalent. And people go, what? Because Sita is a name mm-hmm. and it's also a word for AIDS in Spanish.
Trig, I think, is not a name.
Trig is not a name.
Although,
I thought it was short for for trigonometry. Yeah.
No, it is a subject. I mean, it's a cute name. You know, it's cute. It beats Willow. Oh, or what's her other kid's name?
I don't know.
Willow.
Her other kid's name is Willow? I don't think
so. Yeah, she's got a Willow, doesn't she?
Isn't she?
Willow and Bristol?
Some of those boys in that family are very cute.
And then the oldest
cute,
son,
though.
I don't know what his name is, but he sure is cute. Wow.
I know.
I just think it's weird that she would name her kid that.
But so, yeah. So, I mean, it's kind of like Sarah Palin just keeps going and going and going.
I heard her described, somebody told me they heard her described by John McCain in an elevator in Washington, D.C. as the gift that keeps on giving.
She is a gift. It's a very special gift.
Very special gift indeed.
So what's going on in the news, Mark?
In the news. So there was a woman who was she was charged with a DUI because she went into the jail and she demanded conjugal visits with a special inmate. So there was an inmate in there that she really wanted to screw and she was drunk and she's like, I demand conjugal visits. And so they're like, I'll put you in jail for a little while so you can sober up.
I can't believe, so she like wasn't in her car when they gave her a DUI?
Well, she
was just very truthful. Mm-hmm. They were like, how'd you get here? You seem very drunk. Well, I drove. I'm sorry.
I think that's what it was.
What if I say I'm sorry?
You know, I mean, I've drunk dialed people before, you know, for a booty call, but like this is
seems
a
like
far.
It's a little far. Yeah, it does. It seems extreme.
There's a man in Oklahoma who is fighting because he wants his license plate to say, I'm gay. And at first they turned it down and said, no, it's too like out there. Like they wouldn't want to do it. But then he's pointing out that some people have it and like their license plate says straight fan, like STR8 fan. And somebody else has an STR8 SXI. So straight sexy. And he's just like, listen, if they can do it, why can't I?
Or maybe can he come up with a like a colorful fruity and fabulous?
Mm. Oh, God. Yeah, I mean. You know, I think I'm gay.
Doesn't show much imagination.
And I just love that.
But listen, it's
I love
it's a
the
statement.
Idea of being cut off by that person.
That
gay!
Fucking, that fucking gay guy cut me off.
Well, I mean, you know, maybe a lot of the reason a lot of people have, they say the reason a lot of people have those rainbow stickers and proud mm-hmm. to be gay and, you know, daughter of Belitis. On their bumper sticker is because they're proud and they want to celebrate their sexuality and let others know that we're, you know, we're here, mm-hmm. we're queer, get mm-hmm. used to it. But I think the real reason people put that on their bumper stickers is because they're cruising for sex.
Absolutely.
And parks.
Wow.
Absolutely.
And so,
really?
You know, oh yeah, because Mark and I used to have a rainbow sticker on the back of our car.
Oh, so you're just talking about your life. That's why we...
Pretty much.
And we were driving through... Mark...
In Indiana.
Had this fetish
kids.
For...
It's not a fetish. I like history.
He's a history buff, history fetishist, and he wanted, early on in our relationship, he wanted to go to visit Fort Wayne, Indiana.
To see the fort.
To see the fort that's there.
Aren't forts cool?
Forts are cool. My dad, you and my dad would have a lot to talk about. He wants to talk about forts all the time.
I like my forts Disney style with a gift shop. This is an abandoned...
It's a dump.
It's a dump.
But I didn't know it was a dump. How do you know it's a dump unless you go there?
You can look at pictures of it on the internet. You can call them up and say,
well, not
is
then.
This
no,
dump?
You gotta go to each fort.
But so anyway, these kids were like, they were in high school or just out of high school, and they saw the rainbow thing on our car, and they started honking us. We're like, what did we do? What did we do? And then they were gay, and like we were the only gay people they had ever seen before.
Oh my God.
So they pulled us over, and we like started hanging out with them and chatting them up. I think we went to the lesbians.
She had a softball game. So we went and watched her play lesbian softball in Fort Wayne, Indiana. But she was like, her behavior was like she was like a 12-year-old boy. Like she got real angry and mad, and then she just like stomped around. She's playing like softball. It was so much fun.
Where I have to say the blonde young guy was pretty cute.
He was pretty cute.
But he had a lot of piercings.
Yeah, a little too druggy though.
Well, I suppose if you're the only...
Why not pierce
yourself? Yeah.
A little too methy. I think he was doing some meth.
You know, what kills me is this, all these beautiful people, and they just like get all these piercings and tattoos all over their bodies, which I think is fine if you want to, but think about it before you do it, because...
I think most people do, don't they?
There's a whole website, you know.
Yeah, but if they're gonna do some really, really ridiculous things...
Yeah, maybe before a face tattoo. Yeah. I mean, certainly before a face tattoo.
At least spell check your tattoos.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so you don't have misspellings.
Right.
Because, you know, when you're drunk at 3 a.m, you're hanging out with your friends, you're like, we're the best friends, you know. It's like getting, you know, Steamworks tattooed on your body and misspelling Steamworks. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you know, after our show, we could go get tattoos.
I think we should. I already have actually mine. I've had it for years.
What do you have?
My Steamworks tattoo. No, I don't have a tattoo of Steamworks.
Release
it's
the just, pressure.
It's, there's a, it says, I performed at Steamworks on, and then there's a blank space that I have to fill in. Just so you guys are going to have to write it in.
Like a tombstone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, right, because then I can just die because I've already done it.
I think it's exciting, though, to do a show at Steamworks, too, because it also gets us in front of an audience and makes us aware of, like, is this making you guys laugh? Is this kind of making you cringe? Or, you know, there's a lot of cringeworthy news, I guess. You know,
we're going to have a lot of people be topless at the Steamworks event, but they just had a topless toboggan race in Germany, and over 14,000 people showed up to watch 30 male and female competitors brave the elements and go down this track to win. So I would think, like, you know, if you're doing a topless event, kind of like the chicks being topless is kind of a bigger deal, I think, than just men being topless.
In some cases, yeah. Yeah, I think in some cases.
But I like that because you get to see the hot guys' bodies, you know, because if you're running in one of those races, you have to be in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
So oh, yeah. I want to see that picture.
Here, it's of a dude. We might be able
His
to find
nipples
some chicks.
Are tiny, tiny because it's cold.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're probably rock hard.
Wow, what if you fall off your sled?
Well, I guess that
would
hurt.
A lot of road rash.
But it's soft snow.
Oh, it also says that a 70-year-old man got the biggest round of applause for stripping down to his long johns.
Ooh.
Way to go, that guy.
Go, Grandpa.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a study that came out, and we really want to talk about this. It's from the University of Kentucky. And it did a survey with 436 men. Age 18 to 67, and they said almost half of them had been using badly fitting condoms during the last 3 months. And these men were more than two times as likely saying that the condom broke or slipped when they were using it. These men who wore poorly fitting condoms said were twice as likely to say that using one reduced sexual pleasure for themselves and their partners. So kind of what the study is trying to conclude is that a really effective way to increase condom usage and to reduce the risk of HIV and AIDS and other sexually transmitted diseases is an unwanted pregnancy as well, is for us to be able to develop ways for guys to buy condoms that fit them and that are well made so they actually don't slip around, because it's kind of like a bra. Like, have you ever seen the Oprah bra story? That if you don't have a bra that fits you correctly, it actually can throw your back out of alignment. And
make your tits look weird and be
and
uncomfortable.
Yeah, and other things out of alignment, too. Sure, absolutely.
But I have to say, as someone, you know, it's like, I buy condoms, and it's like, I'm out of the store. I have no idea what to buy.
I was just going to ask, how can you do a fitting on there? Like, how can you just have to blindly
buy
whatever?
You just have to cross your fingers
and
hope
you get
fits.
Something you like. I mean, I was like, I never really liked them. And then I discovered these ones that are called Plus 7.
Oh.
And those fit a lot better, I have to say.
Yeah, because you're giant. Is that what that means? Yeah. I didn't get the joke. Like, you were looking me right in the eyes, and I'm like, I don't know what that means.
It's the actual brand. It's called Plus 7. I didn't even know I was just like, oh, look, they look nice. So I thought, I'll try that. But you would think, like, listen, I mean, penises come in all different kinds of shapes and sizes. Shouldn't condoms come in that? You know, little ones, big ones.
But does
you know,
a guy
want to
buy the
heads?
Small dick condom box? You know, it's
listen,
like,
listen, if you need it, buy it.
I mean, I don't know. God, really? Is that a problem? I mean, people that are like nervous to buy the right size condom because they don't want to look the checkout person in the eye? I say to that man that he should have to buy tampons. And then, like, it's fine after that.
Because is it embarrassing, like, when you go to buy tampons and you're like, I gotta get the jumbo one?
Well, it's more embarrassing if you have to get yeast infection products. I'm sorry, this just got really disgusting, but it's true. Like, girls have to buy such crazy stuff. Come on, men. Buy the right size condoms.
Well, here's an idea. Here's a suggestion to the people who make condoms, not like they may be listening, is the way they sell pantyhose, as someone who's bought condoms and pantyhose
Ooh, pantyhose.
Is that that pantyhose are sold in kind of this grid of code.
Yeah.
So you're not like buying the fat chick pantyhose. You're
like
buying
height and weight are
queen size.
Yeah.
Oh no, they don't even say queen size. They just have like a number 600 through 800,
right.
400 through, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that destigmatizes size for women, because you know, if you buy the wrong size, it can also create some problems for you. So maybe having a way, a complex code.
Like, let's say you have
X27.
Like, you have a thick shaft and a little head, or a big giant, like, door knocker head, and then, like, a tiny little pencil dick.
I guess. Listen, it's up to the condom companies.
I don't think they should put pencil dick on the box, though.
You know, people are wanting to reduce HIV and STD transmissions.
Right.
I think that these kind of organizations Hello AIDS Foundation in Chicago should work with condom companies and say, let's develop some
solutions. Kick-ass condoms.
Some kick-ass condoms.
I want the spray-on kind. You spray it on and...
I don't think that works, though.
No, they don't.
But I actually talked to Curtis from Steamworks and said that Steamworks spends a lot of money on getting quality condoms that you can get for free if you're at Steamworks.
Yeah.
Mm.
So you know, it's like... and. But the problem is, like, you don't always know what you're getting when you're at a bar or something. When you're buying a condom, mm-hmm. you know what right. brand it is and what's reliable. Right. When you're at a bar and you grab condoms from a jar, which is better than nothing, you don't really know what yeah. the brand is.
And you don't know who's been sitting there all night with a little needle poking holes in it.
Oh, I don't think anybody does that. Meanwhile, everybody's excited about this guy who was dying or suffering from leukemia, and he had a stem cell transplant, which I believe is was the bone marrow, right?
I think the stem. Well, I think it would be stem cells that would go into your bone marrow, because that's leukemia. You'd want to get that done.
So you know he had a stem cell transplant, and he was living with HIV beforehand, where you know his leukemia is not living, but you know. What would you say, terminally ill, or?
Well, you don't know.
No, living. I mean, sure. Yeah,
struggling to live.
You're living with cancer. You're living with leukemia. Leukemia is a type of cancer.
Yeah. So he was living with HIV and living with leukemia, and so he had a stem cell transplant, and now after 2 years after the transplantation, he is without any signs of HIV, without any antiretroviral medication, which is big news. So, but the problem is that, you know, one out of three, or they're saying, I think it's one out of three that people who get stem cell transplants die from the process.
Oh, really?
It's very dangerous to do. So it's not a very effective way of treating HIV and certainly, but the people who were doing the transplant for the gentleman, actually picked somebody who had the gene mutation that makes it someone less likely to contract HIV. And that's the CCR5. And
it'd be a good name for a band.
Yeah.
The CCR5. What is that? Well, we're immune to AIDS.
Clearwater Revival, but less likely to get HIV than those.
So they're saying that even though they can't detect it right now, that the HIV can affect other types of cells, and it might actually be hiding out in the patient's body to resurface at a later time. So this is not definitely a cure, but it's hope
for the future.
That's wild, though. I hope he's. I mean, I hope that continues for him. I can't even imagine.
Mm-hmm. Well, do you kind of stuff though? Because like when you get organ transplants, you have to take medications so your body doesn't reject it. But with stem cells, do you have to take that same kind of medication?
I don't know, but they're saying that there is no, this is from the news item here, there is no conclusive explanation why they didn't observe any rebound of HIV. Mm-hmm. And the finding is very surprising, getting a lot of attention from doctors.
Mm.
So one drug that's currently on the market blocks CCR5 called Maraviroc or Zelenzatree.
Okay.
That's the drug name?
Zelenzatree.
I can see why they do that. Rolls off the tongue.
Because Maraviroc
right.
was
that's,
ugly.
No, that's, let's not use that. We'll use Zelenzatree.
It's like lots the product of consonants.
Rep. So good luck.
It was approved in 2007, and now it's being used in combination with other antiretroviral drugs because it blocks the way that the HIV virus traditionally gets into the body, the blood of somebody's guys. Whatever. I don't know. It's like, it's hard to make sense of these kind of stories, but it's important to talk about because it's sort of like, well, progress is being made. Part of me... when I read these kind of things, it bothers me because it's a lot of discussion and analysis on, you know, dealing with the symptoms of compromised immune systems and not really addressing. It's like, why are we seeing a rise in these types of diseases, cancer, HIVs, immune-related disorders in this point in our history? You know, it's kind of like it would be good to understand why even the HIV virus exists in the first place. And I don't know if there is a study that being done because I'm not a
researcher. Came from a chimpanzee, right?
Yeah, but I'm sure like...
but why now? Like people have been having sex with chimps forever.
You know, it's right, like, the first Adam, Eve was a chimp. I don't know if you guys knew that.
But, you know, it is sort of an interesting question to ask. It's like, why are we dealing with these diseases in this point in time?
Well, I think also maybe we've had these kinds of mutations before or something like that. Yeah. But people may have just, you know, that people may have died out.
Right. I think that it's, I think for me, the cancer stuff, especially, it's like the awareness, the fact that we are able to study it and diagnose it, and it's not just so-and-so died from like the crazy lung or whatever.
Everybody got
and
plagues. There was plagues.
Right. And then also, I mean, we're living in a constantly degrading world. Like, our world is...
But is our world really degrading, or are we just, you know, putting things into our bodies, into an environment that we don't know the consequences of? Like, antibiotics and...
How about plastics?
And plastics and...
Which we're constantly surrounding from. And I'm going to drink from it right now.
I know. And it's sort of like, it's hard to escape. You know, that's why we're all, like, fermented foods people. Kombucha. Right.
Rotten food diet.
Every time Cameron comes into the house... Drinks up a glass of kombucha.
Yeah. I'm going to make you drink some before you leave.
Okay. I might need it to fight off this cold.
I'm telling you, it'll hook you up. It'll hook you up. I feel better now.
It'll hook me up with my gag reflex, too, because that stuff tastes terrible.
It does not.
I don't like it.
I made her say hi to it when she came in today. I was like, I unveiled it, because right now we have it on the counter with a heating pad underneath it, wrapped up like a little baby. I said, say hi to my baby. And she's just like...
Hello. Hi. I would like to borrow your heating pad for my low back.
It is. I'm really fetishizing the yeast and bacteria symbiotic culture that lives on top of the. I'm always like curious, like how it grows and how it
it's
moves.
It's gonna evolve into something someday.
Someday it'll be the precedent,
and that will be our son, and we'll love him forever. He's really ugly.
It'll be the first non-human president of the United States.
Yes, absolutely.
It'll be like President Obama was the first African American. This the descendant of this yeast.
The chair recognizes the ball of yeast. Ball of yeast, please. I think that was an excellent point.
I think that he's encouraging terrorism. Yeast is encouraging terrorism in this country. So there's another study from Australia that was saying that even though people's HIV levels are dropping, theoretically would make it more difficult to transmit the virus. That is not the case.
What?
So, you know, people who are having like bareback sex, unprotected sex with people arguing that because their HIV levels in their blood are undetectable or low. They're saying this study is saying that, that is not the case. It's more important, to look at who's giving it or receiving it and, whether the person is circumcised or not. And they said that the best thing you can, if you're going to have, and listen closely, people.
Listen.
If you're going to have unprotected anal sex.
And don't do it. Don't do it.
If you're going to have it, and you're getting it up the butt, and the guy's about to come, if he pulls out before he ejaculates, it cuts the risk of contracting HIV by 50%. In half.
So just remember, like, let's all say it together. Please don't come in my ass.
Pull out, people. Just like the straight people did with it. Now, you know, we all know, straight people know very well that pulling out before coming is not the best, most effective contraceptive
method. I mean, I think it's generally
method.
A terrible method, right? We've all, across a...
But it is nice to know that there's, you know, look, there's levels of harm reductions, as we know. And it's like, I'm hoping that, you know, you would use a condom, you use protection to prevent an infection. But if you're not, then
pull out.
Pull out. Wrap it up or pull out.
Wrap it up or pull out. What are you gonna do? You know, the anus is, you know, it's sensitive. You know, it's a sensitive area, so you got to take care of it. Because what happens, you know, if you come in there, it just it gets a chance to like fester and penetrate
and
get
like
it around.
Most,
you know,
in the most like turn like churning
the
sort of
churning
like,
sperm.
If you leave it, it's very it's like palpable what you're
you
doing.
Know. So you want to get it out. So you want to, you know, just shoot it on their chest, on their stomach, do it on their face, whatever.
It's like porn
stars. Be a porn star.
Yeah.
You know? Just don't. How about, who was that representative that was talking about gay men having sex, talking about the penis wiggling inside their anus with all the feces in there? She made it seem as though, like, you're baking a loaf down there and then you're having sex. Like, that's all you're, like, it's just so crazy.
Well, Mark, everybody knows that feces are the best lube for anal sex.
That's true.
That's why. And the audience is like,
I know.
Bad touch.
Listen,
bad
everybody.
Touch.
Just everybody. It's okay. Just cuddle up. Just everybody curl up a little bit.
It's Cameron.
I'm just talking them down. I'm talking them down.
You've never had shitty kitty before. That's what they call it.
What is that? Is that a drink?
It's a delicious beverage, symbiotic of bacteria and yeast.
Okay, so in the UK, they're trying to develop, instead of like potato chips, which we all know are greasy and fatty and not very good for
and
you.
Delicious.
Oh. And delicious.
Well, I'm supposed to not say that?
No. Okay. Salty. They're going to try to develop meat chips. So it'll be like potato chips, but made out of meat.
So very thin, elegant jerky.
And so, yeah, I guess so it'll be like a little bit different.
It'll be crispy.
It'll be crispy.
What kind of meat?
I don't know.
Ooh, see, there you go. That's when you know maybe you don't want to buy this product, when it's called meat chips as opposed to beef chips or chicken chips.
I would imagine it'd probably be beef or pork.
Yeah.
But you don't think it would be like, you know, walrus.
Maybe it's a mix. Maybe they mix it all together.
Well, right now, British people really like eating beef-flavored potato chips. Right. So the argument this person's, the company is making is that this product will be pretty much the same. Well, it cuts out the potatoes. And
right, exactly.
But what they're trying to say is that they're trying to make something that tastes pretty similar to this product that already is on the market, but is much relatively healthier. My feeling is, if it was made at a plant, limit your intake of it. If it was made by a plant, if it is a plant, consume all you want. If it was made at a plant, limit your intake.
Well, they should probably make like a dessert chip, so you could have your meat and potatoes chips, and then like a cherries jubilee chips.
Yeah, you know what I would do? I'd stack them all on top, just all in the mouth at once. I'm done. I've had my crisps for the day, and I think I'm feeling fine.
Or you could just kind of take the crumbs and mix them together into a delicious taste sensation.
Sure, absolutely. Oh,
my mother used to make us peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, or peanut butter sandwiches with potato chips all crunched up. Have you ever had that?
I've seen other kids
delicious.
Do that.
Delicious.
Ew.
It was absolutely delicious.
So
really, you couldn't do that?
I don't know. I guess I just never...
How about marshmallow fluff? Did you like that?
I've never had marshmallow fluff. Are we going to have
on a peanut butter sandwich?
Nope, never had it.
How about you?
I don't eat that kind of food.
When you were a kid, though, you didn't have marshmallow
when
fluff?
When I was a kid, I said, if it's a plant, want to eat it.
How about Nutella?
Oh, I actually hate Nutella.
You hate Nutella?
Yeah.
Nutella how about, and crepes is delicious.
I don't know, I don't like hazelnuts.
How about peanut butter and jelly from the same jar?
Oh, I won't eat that. I won't eat that at all. That's disgusting. It's called like Goobers or something. Yeah. Like, why would you ever want to buy that? But listen.
What?
Peanut butter and chocolate? Now you're talking.
Okay. That's delicious.
Reese's. Peanut butter banana pancakes with chocolate chips.
Mm.
Now, I really like, when we were kids, our big... you know, bad food du jour was white bread toasted with grape jelly.
Oh, that's good.
And my parents would drive them insane.
They're I like cinnamon toast.
Oh, we would make a cinnamon toast. You spread butter, sugar, and cinnamon on top, and you would toast it.
We baked a lot, so we used to bake cakes and things. And one time, our beater broke, and my sister took out the drill and put the beater thing at the end of the drill.
Oh, my God.
It went everywhere. Oh, fun times.
So that's in Detroit, awesome. A web designer is selling actual square inches of an empty lot, a parking lot, for $1 each.
For a square inch, right?
$1 per square inch to show what can be done with vacant spaces. They're called Inchvestors.
Oh my God, hilarious.
Isn't that nice? 600 already have bought some 10,000 plots for sale in the Loveland Art and Real Estate Project on Detroit's east side. The 20-year-old web designer, Jerry Paffendorf, says he bought the lot for $500 and profits are fed back into maintenance of the project. So some people have actually bought one single plot, but others have bought about 1,000 and are going to put little tiny buildings inside.
Oh, my God. Really?
Isn't that cute?
I want to go there so much. I want to come to your town.
Right now, it's just
Godzilla,
an empty hole.
Just take it over.
The tiny little town built by the internet.
Oh.
Isn't that delicious? So, what else is going on, Mark?
I don't know. I think that's about it.
Oh, no. There's one more. Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh.
You know who that is, right?
The Shaq.
Right, the rap star, right?
Yeah, the
star
basketball player.
Of
rap star?
The movie.
Shazam.
Space. No, that was Michael Jordan.
He wasn't in Space
wasn't
Jam
he
at
in
all.
Shazam. Isn't that the name?
Shazam. That's Shazam. One of the worst movies ever made. He is turning his sights into the art world, and started a an exhibition of art that he curated called Size Does Matter. And of course, you know, one of the things, much of the art at the exhibition is paintings and things with him in it.
Oh, really?
So I'm kind of like,
but it's like big chairs, and he's got the statue of this big giant guy like huddled up in a corner, which I think is awesome.
A plus size bald man, a bear without the hair. And so it includes works by 39 different artists, including Chuck Close and Willard Wigan, and all dealing with the theme of scale. And it's at Chelsea's Flag Art Foundation. I went to the website, the Flag Art Foundation, to find out what the letters FLAG stand for.
What do they stand for?
They don't explain it anywhere. Isn't that crazy?
But it is an acronym. Like there's
well, periods. It's all maybe capital it's just letters, like AIDS, you know. But I'm like,
flag
well,
P?
P? No, it's FLAG.
Okay. Well, maybe it's just
like we're flag. We like flags,
right? Maybe
everybody likes flags, right. Especially nations.
Mm-hmm. I know.
At the UN, flags abound.
Yeah, they do. I've seen Olympics. There's a lot there. Sure.
What other events and locations can you find flags? Gay pride parades?
You can, yeah.
This is like the pyramid.
Outside of like homes, maybe around Easter time, be like a little Easter flag.
Easter flag.
I love a multi-seasonal flag.
Cemeteries, little flags.
Yeah, definitely.
Schools, yes. In front of schools and banks. What other places can you not find flags?
Deserted islands.
Usually,
except for that one that's made out of your old shirt. Come back.
Kevin, you're going out to Seattle.
I am going out to Seattle.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
I know. I was there just for the first time over the fall, and I'm really excited to go back.
What you doing?
Like the 14th to the 17th. I have some shows. Yeah, of March.
You'll be there for St. Patty's Day.
I will be there for St. Patty's Day.
Will you be
Day.
Wearing green and drinking stuff?
A lot.
Are you Irish at all? You went to Boston College.
But I'm not Irish at all. And in fact, my parents, specifically my dad, who's a very proud Italian man, would like dress us in red on St. Patrick's Day. Just like, you go off to school, you tell them to start celebrating St. Joseph. As if we were in this giant saint feud between the two cultures. Like, I don't even know what he said.
Your father, while every single kid would pinch you, because you weren't wearing green on St. Patrick's Day, because your father insisted on being a cultural rebel and dressing you in red.
We had to wear red.
Why would it? When is St. Joseph's Day?
A couple days after.
Isn't he an Italian saint?
Yeah, he is.
St. Giuseppe?
Hey, St. Joey!
I don't know. But you went to Boston College, which is like a hotbed of
right,
Irish Catholicism.
Right, I mean, I've seen Irish people. Okay. And I've been to Ireland.
Well, there you go.
And you've had sex with Irish people?
Yes, actually, yeah.
Yeah, so they're great. Right. Yeah. I love Irish guys.
They're cute.
The freckles. I want to find your lucky charms.
I like watching them because they come here sometimes to work for the summer, and they come here and they're really skinny, and then by the time they leave, they're well fed.
I noticed that because there was a guy working out at our gym, and he was wearing like one of those white tennis player outfits, and I was like, who's this character here? And so while he was filling up his water bottle, and he went, hey, what's going on? And he's like, how you doing? It's late for a workout, isn't it?
drinking Guinness
out of his water bottle. I was like,
oh, there's a lot of head on this water. Oh, I'm just kidding. It's Guinness.
So where can they see you in
Seattle?
They
should come out on the 17th to, I guess the place is called Chop Suey.
Chop.
I can't talk.
Chop Suey.
I know what I'm saying.
The Laugh
saying
Hole,
in my head.
Seattle 17. I have it written down. Yeah, here.
The Laugh Hole.
It's a show that's called The Laugh Hole, which just sounds really
dirty,
sexual, doesn't it? But I don't think it is. And it's put on by the People's Republic of Comedy, which is apparently like a communist organization in Seattle. No.
Have you or have you ever been?
I'm headlining that show, though. People should come on the 17th. I'm headlining that show.
Cameron, I love your tour schedule. Steamworks, March 5th, The Laugh Hole, Seattle,
girl.
17th.
People are going to start wondering.
You're building up a career for yourself.
I sure am.
And in your girlfriend's bedroom all the rest of the time. Lock up your daughters. Cameron's coming to Seattle.
Lock them up so she can come over and have her way.
So also your comedy album is scheduled to appear on iTunes. It may not. There might be delays, but March 2nd. And we'll blog about it on the site.
Yeah, March 2nd. Check it out. Make me crazy rich.
Hell it. It does pay for your touring.
Let me explain how much I need to be rich.
Okay.
I don't own any pots that can cook any food.
Really?
People on the internet. Oh, I don't like. That's no, so it's sad. Fine. I don't.
You microwave really everything?
No, I mean, I really do own pots. They're just like terrible. Does anybody here on the internet? I'm talking to you. Does anybody here on the internet own like nothing that matches at all in their apartment? And like, I only have. I only have like one pot, so if I'm cooking like multiple. Anyway, my point is I'm doing great, but I need your money. I need you to buy, and it's a great album, so you should buy it.
Maybe you should sell some of your bandanas.
I'm going to sell some bandanas.
Yard sale. Worn.
I'm going to do it on the internet.
Why don't you do what Rosie does and do arts and crafts projects and sell it on Etsy?
And Rosie O'Donnell does that?
Yeah. She's like, donates it to charity, but you could be your own charity, right, honey. Because it's like,
no, I'm actually doing fine. I'm just really excited about the release. I was trying to trick everybody. I'm crazy rich already.
That nanny pays well.
So rich.
Well, in the meanwhile, we want you to go to the iTunes Music Store and click on the share this on Twitter or Facebook link and tell the people about the Feast of Fun podcast on your Twitter or Facebook profile. Spread the love. The music featured on today's show is the music of Michelle Malone. The song Weed and Wine, something everybody can relate to, is available through our website, feastoffun.com. Click on the music link on today's show, and we get a little kickback, 5%. Hey, that's like a Discover card.
That's a lot.
Yes, it is.
If you find something fabulous, post it on our Fresh section. It's feastoffun.com/fresh. We want to hear from you.
You can follow Cameron on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Cameron Esposito, one word, obviously.
That's all.
That's easy to spell, I'm sure.
And you actually, unlike Mark, you actually check it every day, do you?
I check it a lot. And I
check mine
and
every
tweet
day.
I fabulous messages about my life as a nanny and as a human.
But you're not a midwife or a wet nurse. You're just a nanny.
Well, just no, but now that you bring it up, I guess that's the first time I've ever thought of that.
You're not an au pair.
No, I'm not. I'm not an au pair.
Let's talk about this wet nursing.
Wet nursing? Yeah. I think you have to have a kid, right, to like get that thing started?
I don't
think
so. You just got to have big tits.
No.
And then when the kids suck on it enough, they'll start producing milk. That's how
true.
Yeah, when you hear a baby cry, don't your nipples start to tingle?
No, yours?
Yes, of course.
Well, mine do, because I'm like, get that kid away from me! Nipple punch!
Bye, everybody!
Bye!